Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
Load up on guns and bring your friends. It's fun to lose and to pretend. She's overboard and self-assured. I know a dirty word.
They go then, and what we heard there in so many ways was probably a watered down version of the original Smells Like Teen Spirit, bit like some might say Black Widow is a bit of a watered down version of Winter Soldier. I don't know, but let's find out before actually Richard Fitzwilliams and Robin says he's not going to like it. He will. It's a done deal. Richard will give it a 7 to 8 out of 10. It'll happen. It's got female director. It's natural. Let's move on to Robin. Your view about Black Widow, please.
Well, you know, that's very interesting. A watered down version of Winter Soldier. I hadn't actually considered that at all. I'm going to need a little bit of time to process that. I'm
briefly,
not
you've got the brainwashing, the mind watching. You've got a cloud city environment that collapses, a sort of thing that's built from there. You've got family issues. You've got a variety of other bits and pieces. They just wanted to find some way of actually promoting the next stage of the Marvel Universe, Hawkeye. That's quite simply all they were doing.
Well, that was always going to be the case, wasn't it? Because this is the kickoff to Phase 4 of the Marvel movie universe. It should have been the first time that we saw a certain unnamed character, but we've already seen this character in The Falcon and Winter Soldier. The film did what it did very well, I thought. I thought it was a more restrained, a more subdued Marvel movie, which it needed to be, because how on earth do you follow the likes of Infinity War, Endgame, and even to a degree, Spider-Man Far From Home? I thought it did very, very well in fleshing out some of the Black Widow's personal life and what happened before she became the Black Widow. I myself would have liked to have seen an origin movie, but that should have been made a few years ago. And I guess, and this is a personal opinion, the closest we'll get to an origin story of the Black Widow is if you watch the Red Sparrow movie of a couple of years ago, which seems to be around the same kind of thing, except she's not quite the same super spy. What we have here is a Bond film, if Marvel made a Bond film, with super spies, international intrigue, a lot of special effects, some fantastic car chases, and some metahumans in there as well. I would give it a comfortable 8. See, what I thought was a big mistake, or would be a big mistake here, is in giving a film that's set 3 movies ago. So we know the character isn't in any real jeopardy because we know what happens to her in following films. But the way it was played, I thought it made us feel more of her loss, because her character, rather than just be a sort of peripheral cipher, is now more of a three-dimensional, fully fleshed-out character. So I would definitely give it an 8, with a special mention for Scarlett Johansson for what she's done in the Marvel movie universe.
Yeah, I'm sticking with 7, for apart from the fact that it got up to 7 because it did have wonderful nods in the direction of Moonraker. You actually got a clip from Moonraker. You could actually say it borrowed the whole end sequence in terms of the Jaws battle with Roger Moore from Moonraker as well. And of course, Moonraker directed by Lewis Gilbert, who kind of knew what he was doing, and this wasn't a kind of novice film director who's suddenly given $200,000 to actually work, well, $1 million to actually work with. But that's by the by. Natasha, in Australia, I think you rated Black Widow. Share with us, what's the experience been?
I think I would match Robin at an 8. I really enjoyed it. I thought that the casting was done very well. I liked how they introduced some of the characters that made up her family. I would agree with Robin in that I think that it could have been nicer to get a little bit more of the origin earlier on. I certainly would have liked to have seen a movie like this before sort of Endgame. I think that would have made stakes a little bit higher throughout Endgame and certain, you know, consequences much more impactful. In terms of Scarlett Johansson's performance, I thought she performed really well. I thought that it was a really nice sort of nod to being a girl power movie without it being smacking you in the face with sort of feminism, do you know what I mean? Which is the kind of way I like it done. It was well done. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I liked Florence Pugh. I am hoping to see...
Pew, pew, pew.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Florence. Yeah, I thought she did really well, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of her, hopefully, in some of the coming TV series and seeing her character involved. So yeah, it was exciting, and I enjoyed it.
Well, we'll find out in a few seconds what Richard made of it. But the reason I've actually got the Iowa Scuba Affair up online behind me, Man from U.N.C.L.E., of course, directed by the wondrousness that was the late, great Richard Donner, who, with his experience with the Wild Wild West, with the range of televisual work over 15 years of wonderful, fantastic televisual side of things, etc., managed to effectively open up the wondrous world of true superhero movie with Superman, of course, back in 1978. The reason I'm mentioning that is because Richard Fitzwilliams, you'd like to have a tribute to Richard Donner, who again proved that given 15 years of experience, you can be the ideal director. So what Marvel are doing in terms of giving a major multi-million dollar director a task where she's only got three things to her name, I do not know, but that's by the by.
Yes, it's extraordinary with Richard Donner because if you look at someone who has an ability to begin film franchises, even like Superman, it took a very, very painful gestation. I mean, to have The Omen, to have Superman, and, you know, you talk...
And The Goonies.
Well, I haven't seen The Goonies, I do have to admit. I gather it was very popular. But to read an obituary, and, you know, you... read about the unknown Christopher Reeve. I mean, it's quite extraordinary. And then Lethal Weapon 2 as well. I mean, or Lethal Weapon, I mean, with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover and the chemistry between them. I mean, I only saw a certain number of his films, and I mean, they weren't the sort of films that necessarily would appeal to me. But if, for example, you had a horror classic. It is The Omen. I mean, it's the devil child born to the family of the American ambassador I mean, you had decapitation, you had an individual skewered by lightning. There was a great deal to shock in that movie, and I thought it was very, very effective. So, there's no question that with three, all of which became very successful franchises, and I've only seen a very limited number. Lethal Weapon 2, I thought was terrific. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and also he had a South African villain played by Joss Ackland who had a terrible accent. An extraordinary director, 91, a career that brought a pleasure to millions, and I mean, Robin will want to enlarge because a lot of the movies that Richard Donner did are more perhaps ones that you would enjoy rather than the ones that I would necessarily have seen or want to see.
Well, let's hold it there. Let's turn to Sebastian. Have you seen Black Widow as yet, Sebastian?
I haven't, but then I haven't seen a Marvel Cinematic Universe film since, I think, Civil War back in...
That's probably actually the high point of them in many ways. But so that's part of it. Maybe that's a bit harsh. Gabriella, what about yourself? Gabriella Van Genyens, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Yeah, I have actually seen this. I went to see it on Friday, and I really enjoyed it. I both agree with Natasha and Robin. I'd probably give it an 8. Like, I, to be honest, I thought the supporting cast was amazing. I absolutely love kind of David Harbour as like the Red Guardian. I thought he was absolutely great in that. It's sort of some like washed up Soviet Captain America. I thought he was super, super good in that. And also Ray Winston as well. I thought he was so great as the villain in it. I wish I could have like kind of had more with him in it because I just think he's such a great actor. But yeah, definitely. I'd give it like a good 8 out of 10, I think.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, as I say, I'm on a 7 out of 10, but I think in terms of the rationale and the reasons for that are slightly different. Chloe, I know you're sort of keen to access this. Welcome aboard, of course, Chloe. Yes. Rose. Have you sort of gone to the cinemas yet? Have you seen Black Widow? Or is it a case of you're holding fire a wee bit?
I haven't seen Black Widow yet. I'm so excited to see it because I've watched every Marvel film from timeline order. Absolutely loved WandaVision as well. That was amazing. And I've watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I am yet to just see Black Widow. Loki, I'm up to date. I've just seen the last episode, and then the next one's coming Wednesday again. Have you been watching it, Alex?
Well, of course, as a trailer for Hawkeye, the upcoming Disney Plus series, you couldn't get finer than Black Widow, but that goes into all sorts of other bits and pieces. Okay, Richard, as you can see, the Moonraker and the debt that Black Widow actually owes to Moonraker cannot be underestimated. Roger Moore at heart there. Also, may I mention Quantum of Solace, because of course we have Olga Kurylenko in Quantum of Solace, of course, and Rachel Weisz, who is married to Daniel Craig, who, of course, was in Quantum of Solace, one of the underrated Bond movies, might have had something to do with that whole connection as well. Oh, sorry, Richard. Have you stopped listening to that again? Never mind. Anyway, it's time for you to actually go and say how wonderful it was to see Scarlett Johansson actually quoting verbatim from, of course, Moonraker, a Roger Moore classic that clearly Lewis Gilbert has directed with wonder.
Well, Alex, I mean, never let it be said that you miss a single opportunity to stir things with your introductions. I mean, it is known. I have to tell the team, just in case some of them might have forgotten, that my view of Moonraker is pretty unprintable. Jaws, I couldn't stand, and I thought that it was totally retrogressive, honestly, at the time, and I still do. But
Mr. Fitzwilliams, your views appear with the tediousness of an unloved season, in the words of Mr. Drax.
I didn't hear it. What? My views are what? No. Regarding Black Widow, it's really good to hear the favorable assessments speak that we've been listening to, because as someone who goes to see most of the Marvel Comic Universe movies, but not necessarily out of love. You can't avoid them. They're what brings people to the cinema these days. Yes, it was only about time that the only female Avenger got her own movie, and highlighting her unexplored past. I mean, the myriad followers of MCU will, I think, or I hope, enjoy it. And there's no Robin, no doubt, pointed out earlier, it's set between Captain America Civil War and Avengers Infinity War. And of course, we saw what happened to Natasha Romanoff, once a KGB spy, then an Avenger during Avengers Endgame. Now, I mean, an iconic character to be sure. Scarlett Johansson's the perfect person to play her, and there's an intensity, there's a magnetism in that. And I was very, I love Florence Pugh, and I think she is her sister, Yelena Belova, another assassin. Very good performance, also rather quirky. I rather like the laugh. And I mean, it's a strong cast. Rachel Weisz as Marina Vostokoff and David Harbour as Alexei Shostakov, a.k.a. Red Guardian. You've got the part of the family. It was a very, very good opening sequence, I thought, where they leave Ohio in an unusual way and go to Cuba. The strength of this movie, undoubtedly directed with panache by Kate Shortland, is in the action sequences. And yes, they're chasing Budapest, the rescue of Alexei from a Russian jail. The Dracov's spaceship sequence, we'll leave it there, but careful of spoilers. Spectacular, but it did remind me of that building collapsing in Casino Royale. I mean, a real-life building would have taken, it took three times what it normally would have, and I think that sequence was deliberately strung out and lost a certain amount through the way it was handled. I mean, admirers will know what they want for this movie. I do have to say some of the cutting was very erratic. It was skipping around, for example, the opening sequences from Morocco.
An inexperienced director, Richard, an inexperienced director. She'd only actually cut three movies before Black Widow, Berlin Syndrome, Somersault and Law. You know, take Richard Donner, 15 years of TV work before he gets his Superman gig and others.
Yes, but of course, Superman wasn't an easy birth, was it? I mean, the problem was, yes, I think Donner was very, very lucky. But as far as Kate Shortland's concerned, I mean, I do think, I always feel with these movies, it's about as realistic as you're going to get from movies of the sort. So, you know, I'm all rather like the James Bond movies. It's as realistic as a Marvel movie is going to get. You know, I'd say it was marvelous. It had all the in-jokes that fans enjoy. It isn't my particular type of movie. Olga Kurylenko's character, sort of robotic creation that has photographic reflexes. Well, the Quantum of Solace...
Skeletor. Skeletor by another name. A gender-swapped Skeletor.
I have to say that it... Overall, it produced, because one thing I really would praise in it, and that is the visuals. My goodness me, whoever was behind the camera did a brilliant job, and you had landscapes that were absolutely gorgeous, and also the various action sequences were very well filmed. Ray Winston, oh, I don't know, I thought he was rather intoxicated as the villain. He was sort of slurring Cockney. I could have done with a more vulpine, a sort of fierce... He was playing as a Russian warlord, really, sort of post-Cold War, and... didn't really work for me, but it was a very, very good cast. And, you know, it's a sort of movie that I would not necessarily be thrilled by normally, but I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think the fans will absolutely love it. So what I do is rate it 7 for myself and 8 for the fans.
Yeah, you see, Robin, I told you it was a done deal. I said right at the start. Did I not nail that? I know Richard
you
so well.
You nail the score, just... absolutely, yes.
Exactly. Sorry, I have to say, I have to make a protest here because this began earlier than the 11 o'clock. And so whatever you were planning beforehand, I need to know what it was.
Richard, Robin always joins these the night before and he stays online beforehand. So, you know, you can come at any time and he'll be there. That's by the by. Sebastian, having heard the team's reviews, will you be checking out Black Widow, if only to see if, finally, Sean Connery's Russian accent can be bettered by Ray Winston's Russian accent in this particular one? I'm talking about Sean Connery in Hunt for Red October. Probably to date, one of the worst Russian accents I've heard until Ray Winston opens his mouth.
Well, like I say, I'm not really at all familiar with anything Marvel, so if I did see it, I'd probably miss out a lot of context. But yeah, it sounds like an enjoyable enough action film. I really like Florence Pugh as well. I was kind of interested when she signed up for it, but yeah, I think if I did see it, the vast majority of it would just pass me by. Yeah.
The classic line is striking the pose, which I think is wonderful. That was actually a very, very wonderful moment there. I shall say no more.
Alex, my classic line was, the space god doesn't need to pop ibuprofen after a fight.
Ah, yes, that was very...
Yeah. Or even ibuprofen. So let's go to Buckingham Palace. Let's go to the gardens. Let's take our trip to the whole system. And after the celebrations of Argentina lifting the Copa del Oro last night, thanks to a fantastic goal by Lionel Messi, which finally actually puts a whole new world on the real football event of the summer, the South American Football Championship. Let's actually head off to Buckingham Palace Gardens. I know, Richard, obviously being a relatively recent glory hunter and following the football game, as indeed Prince William does, you're probably going to be admitting you've got Aston Villa credentials to support them in times to come. You'd have been amazed by Argentina finally winning the Copa del America, but maybe we'll go to Buckingham Palace instead.
Yes, I would recommend, if you've got a picnic and you would like to picnic in the palace grounds, and remember, Buckingham Palace originally purchased in the 1820s, and Queen Charlotte, in fact, the wife of George III, she actually had a menagerie in the palace grounds and indeed had an elephant there, the sort of thing. And we've got elephants in our parks, as you probably, I don't know if anyone's seen the elephants in the London parks.
Richard, there's an elephant in the room of the Houses of Westminster and nobody's actually told him to stop wearing his blonde wig.
Well, I have to say, a tour of the gardens of Buckingham Palace, and you can see that a vast piece of statuary, and it's the Waterloo, well, it's a sort of giant vase Napoleon had it commissioned for the victory he was going to have at Waterloo, which didn't quite come off. I mean, all sorts of bits of history, and of course you've got the most famous facade in the world in the gardens. I did notice the Hilton Hotel, the way it overlooks Buckingham Palace. I mean, the way that was given planning permission beggars all description. Alex will recall the quote from Shakespeare's Antony and Cleopatra. It really was appalling. But the garden parties there that play the national anthem and the royal family walk down the steps and mingle with the assembled guests and so forth. Queen usually gives about three, I think it is, a year, and they're one of the uses for the gardens, and they've got a wonderful lake. And if you're interested in the species of birds, and the floral displays, and the summer house incident is rather fun because there's a little corgi in it made of, it looked like a sort of cane or wood or whatever. And I thought that was rather cute. The pity was the summer house was closed, so we couldn't recline, but it's a rather amusing, slightly oriental in decoration inside, a bit of a folly. It's very enjoyable, I have to say. A burst of rain was going to make it a very, very damp visit, and that is the problem. But, you know, there were people starting to picnic on the lawns. It was the press view, so some of that was set up for the newspapers because the photographs duly appeared in several of them the next day. But one of the interesting aspects of the summer, and it will draw crowds, if you can take a picnic to Buckingham Palace, then you're having a lot of fun.
Robin, will you be going to picnic in the palace?
Oh, it's a bit far for a picnic, isn't it, from North Wales?
No.
If I was in the vicinity and I was with Richard, I would love to go because I'm sure he would give a fascinating tour and show me all kinds of things that I was never aware of.
Chloe, a picnic in the grounds of Buckingham Palace, does it appeal to yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Scones. Oh, do you say scone? Is it a scone or a scone? That's the question. Oh, yeah. And it's got to be Prosecco as well. Oh, yes. Mm. That'd be nice.
Sebastian?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's a bit uncertain today, basically, Sebastian. Don't worry. We've got a movie with Mads Mikkelsen coming up with Richard. That might switch the whole thing entirely. Or maybe you just sort of think, put the booze away. Gabriella, what about yourself and Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, I mean, definitely if I was in London, I would definitely go. I've been to Buckingham Palace before, just like on a tour inside, but like British weather, it was raining the whole time, so I didn't really get to see the gardens. But yeah, that'd be really cool to go with a picnic there. That would be good fun, I think.
And I presume that actually there's sufficient funds available from the taxpayer to actually fix the roofs at Buckingham Palace, so even though it was raining, if you're indoors, it wouldn't make that much of a difference. I don't know these days.
I'm actually surprised that you're allowed to take your own food there. I'm surprised that, you know, You can take a picnic there.
Apparently you can. I mean, there are places where you can buy coffees and various biscuits and so forth. They are quite pricey. But that's part, apparently, of the idea. Regarding Alex's point, and he brought that in very subtly about the cost. In fact...
Well, if you're merchandising the royal family, if you're merchandising the brand Royal, surely the Sussex can actually broadcast brand Royal as well, can't they?
Can I just answer the question of cost? It just so happens, as you're well aware, that's why it was subtly included, that the cost of the royal family, the basic cost, mostly to run the Queen's offices and pay staff and also upkeep of royal palaces, is 77p per person per year, excluding security. But on top of that, on top of the so-called sovereign grant, which is calculated at 15% of the value of the Crown lands, which the income from the Crown lands, they would make a large profit. George III in 1760, to pay off his debts, very, very ill-advisedly swapped the Crown lands income for the civil list. But on top of that, for 10 years, because it is important, Buckingham Palace, it's the monarchy's headquarters, as we all know, it's the best known building of its sort in the world. 369 million, which is a lot, is been pledged by the taxpayer for refurbishment. It's a further 10% of the profits of the Crown lands. And, you know, you've got the processional avenue in front of it, round Queen Victoria's statue, you get a million people plus. It's an amazing edifice, the best known one in the world. And as I say, I mean, the link with Horse Guards, with Tripping the Colour, which is nearby, and some of the royal statues and so forth, rather interesting. But it really, really means that events can be done on a terrific scale. So that's the answer, Alex.
But Natasha, 77p per person, is that going to cut any ice with Republican-based Australia when King Charles ascends to the throne?
I wouldn't like to comment for the Australian Republicans, as I am neither Australian nor a Republican. I think they'll have to answer that one for themselves. When it's like that, it's very interesting hearing Richard break it down, actually, the pricing, 77 pence per person. Oh. And is that sort of by itself, or is that then recuperated? I presume it's like, you'll know.
It's the Crown lands bring a profit in roughly 320-30 million pounds a year. It is 10% of that, and that works out to be 77p per person per year, but excluding security costs, which aren't revealed. And on top of that is the refurbishment for 10 years of Buckingham Palace. The swap in 1760, because the royal family then was given a civil list in exchange for the revenues of the Crown land. It turned out, I mean, the civil list was, you know, in the region of very small amount, because it tended to be fixed at the beginning of a reign. And compared to this, the Queen is getting a good deal more money. And also, which is a problem, palaces have all been closed for obvious reasons because of COVID. The Royal Collection Trust can't get in any money. And that does mean, obviously, that it puts pressure on the Crown finances. People say, oh, well, look how rich they are. And so a lot of the paintings, the residences, Balmoral and Sandringham, the Queen's private property, but the other, the property of the state. The Royal Collection Trust is the property of the nation, ours, so to speak. And the money raised, say, by the opening of Buckingham Palace, which began after the Winds of Fire, 1992, to refurbish it, because the taxpayer wouldn't, and indeed shouldn't have had to. Opening Buckingham Palace has been a great success. But again, that goes towards the upkeep of a huge collection of paintings and other artifacts and treasures. The 77p is the core, and on top of that...
Okay, Richard, you're driving people to drink at this particular moment in time, so let's see whether drink can actually help people in their own way. And let's go into an actor who effectively took part in what I consider to be the prequel to Quantum of Solace, of course, Casino Royale, and that's Mads Mikkelsen, who is also in another round. And this is not something you should try at home, wherever your home might be.
Well, Alex, I have to say that firstly, you mentioned a really good Bond movie, so as opposed to Quantum of Solace and Moonraker, which were terrible trucks, you mentioned something that, you know, really, Casino Royale gave me such hope that Daniel Craig and Craig as Bond would in fact have what I wanted, and that is more realism as well as some of the fun. And Mads Mikkelsen, indeed, yes, he was the villain with a tear in his eyes, I seem to recall, in that movie. And indeed, he stars in, most memorably, in Another Round. Now, this is a movie we finally got to. Good Lord, I waited for this movie for months, and it hasn't been available because, obviously, the problem's constantly being the dates being changed with COVID, but now it's arrived. It's Danish for binge drinking. A strange title for a movie, maybe, directed by Thomas Vinterberg, who's also co-writer. Four teachers get together. Their lives are rather stale. They're midlife crises. They teach in the same school, and most particularly the problem teacher is Martin, because Martin, played by Mads Mikkelsen, I mean, he's become lifeless. His lessons are turgid and dull and dreary, and his class protests that he's not giving them, you know. I mean, Alex, you can imagine.
I've been there, Richard. It's a standard practice for that line of things, really.
He actually walks into a room, and there are not only some of his pupils, but also some of the parents, to complain about him. He's absolutely lifeless, and what's more, his wife works nights, and she's doing other things at nights as well. And why be with someone as dreary as him? And his children don't really respond to him either. So he needs help. And putting it mildly, so that the others also feel. There's Tommy, played by Thomas Boel-Larsen. There's Peter, played by Lars Rantre. And there's Nikolai, played by Magnus Belang. They all feel, teachers in their various ways, that they want
to... It drives one to drink. Chloe, pay attention. This is what could happen unless you go teetotal. It's the only way out.
They discuss... They meet at a party, well, at a birthday party, and they discuss the famous psychiatrist theory that having a blood alcohol content of 0.05 makes you more creative and relaxed. So, especially Martin needs this, but they all decide that they'll drink during the day, and their BAC or blood alcohol content mustn't be below that, and they should not drink after 8 o'clock at night, which I'm sure everyone would agree is a thoroughly sensible way of handling it. So they discover that things are going to change. They're going to change radically. Martin's lessons become lively and funny, and indeed sometimes very, very funny. They're all taking to drink.
I'm just going to ask Chloe at this point today. Chloe, you've recently just qualified as a teacher. At any time in your term of work with Bishop Grotest, was alcohol suggested as a way to improve your lesson plans?
Absolutely not. But, you know, anything goes, you know. I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't need much other than one glass, and I'm, you know, off my rocket. So, but definitely, I wouldn't suggest a teacher doing that. Definitely not. But it sounds hilarious. I like the sound of it.
I mean, Natasha, before you actually became a teacher of English as a foreign language, and you're teaching now, are you told to sort of, you know, get completely pie-eyed or increase your blood alcohol level?
I mean, I'm actually teetotal. So I have been just it's for health reasons. It was recommended to me when I was a child. So I don't actually know what it feels like to be drunk. So would increase my productivity, but I'll never know, I guess.
Yeah. Drunk on the oxygen of life. Don't go there. That's what I say. Don't go there. Richard, back to you.
Yes, they do go there, but what's more, they rather enjoy themselves. It's putting a bit of pep into their lives and into their classes. I mean, Martin even takes his wife and children on holiday. Good heavens, he hasn't thought of a holiday for years. So the group meet again and they decide to take it further. The blood alcohol content is to be 0.10. And so it goes on. Then they start binge drinking during the dinner. It's perfectly obvious that things are not going to go smoothly once this happens. But there is so much room here, firstly for comedy, it's a scream. Then there's a certain amount of pathos in some of these characters, rather obviously, and the way their home lives are not improved when they binge drink. But also, it is a wonderfully life-affirming movie because it is the way that basically, without spoiling anything that occurs climactically, the way that it's part of life, and they're starting to experiment with life. There are casualties in such an undertaking, but there are also rewards. So, I mean, it's wonderfully acted. Visually, it's a strong movie. The script is the joy, and whoever had these wonderful thoughts, it's a life-affirming movie because it does show you that whereas you have to take risks, and in some cases risks can be very dangerous, if you don't, what are you? So I recommend it totally.
Gabriella Vangenians, will you be checking out Another Round?
Yeah, definitely. It sounds really good. And like, I love Mads Mikkelsen as well. So definitely, I think I'll check it out.
Sebastian, what about yourself?
This is one that I've seen, actually. Yeah, and I echo everything Richard said. I think it's incredibly good. Really life-affirming, really a really rewarding experience. A lot richer than I thought. Mads is incredible. Maybe his best performance I've seen. Yeah, it's just brilliant. It's just really, really good. It's surprisingly good, I'd say. It's better than you think.
If you're a Mads Mikkelsen admirer, there's a film, a very, very disturbing film I'd recommend to everybody called The Hunt.
Yeah.
You've seen it?
Yeah, it's also, it's the same director, I think. It's a lot more drab, but that's also really good. And he's very good at, Vinterberg as a director, I think, is very good at dealing with quite unpleasant ideas, but very...
Give him the next Marvel movie. Give him the next Marvel movie. Anyway, it's not going to happen. Robin?
I'm intrigued about this one. I've been a teetotaler since my 20s, but this sounds like fun. I would definitely be checking this one out, yeah.
And Natasha, will you be accessing this? Presumably you've seen the trailer?
Yeah, although the trailer I saw was not in English, so is it shot in English or is it shot in another language?
No, it's got subtitles. It's to add to the effect.
No, I love subtitles. Like I love watching Japanese movies, old Japanese movies. I was just wondering, is it actually shot in English or is it shot in another language?
Oh, it's in Danish.
Oh, okay. I was wondering.
They've got to do something after the result of the semi-final. Now they've obviously turned to drink. You know, it's dreadful, but there we are. So it goes. We share their pain. Chloe, will you be checking this movie out?
Definitely. I really enjoyed the review from Richard on the film, so I'll definitely be checking it out.
Well, there we are. And clearly, Casino Royale carrying with it the, I will often say, sort of Richard Fitzwilliam's lookalike of David Niven there in the original, and so many people would say the best incarnation of Bond back in the day. It's well worth seeing, if only for seeing how...
Where did you see that movie last?
I've seen it four or five times, actually. It's available. I actually put, you know, I can watch it anytime I wish, either on DVD or indeed online. It's super.
It's a load of junk.
But it adds the quality to life. We say at the moment, having gone through Buckingham Palace Gardens, having accessed the joys of Black Widow, or not, and indeed the other range of other things, Natasha Armstrong, have you had a reasonably interesting link with us from Australia?
I've had a wonderfully interesting link. Thank you very much for having me.
Excellent. Chloe, has it been good for you? Has it been good for you from Cleethorpes?
It's been awesome. Thank you for having me.
And Gabriella's still in the dark in Ipswich. Is it still good for you there?
Yeah, it was great. Thank you all so much.
Splendid. Sebastian, who was in the dark but is now back in the light again. Yay, Sebastian. How is it for yourself?
Yeah, it's as enjoyable as always. And I think I really... do need to see some of the Marvel films as the year goes on.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've seen Black Widow twice now. Actually, I probably watched it for a third time. It's still on a seven for me, for the reasons I mentioned, a kind of watered-down version of Winter Soldier. They've been there before, etc. But what the hey. Robin, good for you?
Enlightening, intriguing, and fun. Just like the Black Widow.
There you are. And Richard, as I say, nice to see that we've worked our way through that. Are you back again next week?
I look forward to it.
Natasha Armstrong, Chloe Rose, Gabriella Van Genians, Sebastian Mann, Robin Pierce. Keep on keeping on, be well, and be happy.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance, that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, your shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bronc and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. I started singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Day that I die, this'll be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone, but that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. Oh, and while the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned, no verdict was returned. And while Lennon read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park, and we sang dirges in the dark. Be the day that I die. Helter skelter in the summer swelter, the birds flew off with a fallout shelter, 8 miles high and falling fast. It landed foul on the grass. The players tried for a forward pass with the jester on the sidelines in a cast. While the sergeants played a marching tune, we all got up to dance. Oh, but we never got the chance. As the players tried to take the field, the marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what was revealed the day the music died? We started singing. Clenched in fists of rage, no angel And I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died. And they were singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. They were singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. Thank you.
Sit, sit.